Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, Text 24. Ta eva veda durmedhaya.
Ta eva veda durmedhaya.
Dhyante purushayata.
Dhyante purushayata.
Evam chakara bhagavan.
Evam chakara.
Yasa kripana vatsalaha.
Yasa kripana vatsalaha.
Ta eva veda durmedaya.
Ta eva veda durmedaya.
Dharyante purushayata.
Dharyante purushayata.
Evam chakara bhagavan.
Evam chakara bhagavan.
Yasa kripana vatsalaha. Eva, certainly, Vedaha, the book of knowledge, Durmade higher by the less intellectual, Daryante can assimilate, Purushaya, by the man, Yata, as much as, Evam thus, Chakara, edited, Bhagavan, the powerful, Vyasaha, the great sage Vyas, Kripana Vatsalaha, very kind to the ignorant mass. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus the great sage Vyasadeva, who was very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so that they might be assimilated by less intellectual men. The Veda is one, and the reasons for its divisions in many parts are explained herewith. The seed of all knowledge, or the Veda, is not a subject matter which can easily be understood by any ordinary man. There is a stricture that no one should try to learn the Vedas who is not a qualified Brahmin. This stricture has been wrongly interpreted in so many ways. A class of men who claim Brahminical qualifications simply by their birthright and the family of a Brahmana claim that the study of the Vedas is a monopoly of the Brahmin caste only. Another section of the people take this as an injustice to members of the other castes who do not happen to take root in the Brahmin family. But both of them are misguided. The Vedas are subjects which had to be explained even to Brahmaji by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the subject matter is understood by persons with exceptional qualities of goodness. Persons who are in the mode of passion and ignorance are unable to understand the subject matter of the Vedas. The ultimate goal of Vedic knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. His personality is very rarely understood by those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. In the Satya Yuga, everyone was situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually, the mode of goodness declined during the Treta and Dwapara Yugas, and the general mass of people became corrupt. In the present age, the mode of goodness is almost nil. And so, for the general mass of people, the kind-hearted, powerful sage, Srila Vyasadeva, divided the Vedas in various ways so that they may be practically followed by less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance. It is explained in the next shloka as follows. So we've been hearing about Vyasadeva's writings, and yesterday it was mentioned that he, Trikalagya, that he is internally having this realization that in the future that people are not going to be in the mode of goodness, that they're going to be not intelligent enough to understand the Vedas the way he has them, so therefore he's dividing them. And we'll hear more about that later. Most writers, they need some inspiration internally, and Vyasadeva here is going to get a lot of inspiration to understand his audience more. So most writers and performers, they need, first of all, to sit down and to see who's out there, what the audience is, so they can direct it in a way that they'll be attracted and listen and gain something, some meaning and value out of whatever they're giving. So this is a really important thing. So Vyasadeva is thinking, okay, now in the future, they're not going to be very intelligent. They're not going to understand what I'm writing, but I want them to become attracted to the Lord. So he's understanding that he needs to change his presentation. How to convey this meaning, which is so important. Now, if there's a lot of little, small children, we know that like this, this Prabhu here has to take them to a separate building and do a whole different thing, right? Storytelling and some simple things, engaging them, but also Krishna conscious at the same time. So Vyasadeva is looking, probably pretty shocked at what it's going to be like in the Kali Yuga, and is thinking, okay, wow, what am I going to do with these people? And so he actually thinks that they're like children, I hate to say it, that we're pretty infant-like in spiritual life. So I'm going to tell a lot of stories. So you see that many of the literatures that we have are just full of stories to attract us. It's kind of interesting. I was listening to a tape and Srila Prabhupada was saying that the most, like I'm saying here in the purport, that even the most intelligent people in this so-called civilized human society in the present can't understand the Vedas. They just can't. They might dabble in it and they get lost and get confused and come up with some other interpretation or meaning, but they really don't understand it. They're not intelligent enough too, even the greatest scholars, Prabhupada has said. But then if you look back at Darwin is saying that at this present, at the time that Vyasadeva was writing this for the so-called, uncivilized people that Darwin thought existed at that time. I mean, that's crazy. Darwin is thinking, these are uncivilized people here. They, 5,000 years ago, no one could even write, no one could, they were so degraded. not even developed at all. But here, now, in 2020, so-called civilized, they can't even understand one word of what was written then. So we can understand how elevated these sages were, and how if you read some of Dhritakarma's works, like I think Forbidden Archaeology, that so much more civilized a long time ago. Actually, we've really, really fallen into this Kali Yuga. So we have to understand that somehow or other we have to also reach these people and figure out how we can present it and convey this message of the Bhagavatam in our own way, like Srila Prabhupada was so expertly had done. But here it's describing that the real qualification for understanding the Vedas is definitely not scholarship by any means, but it's actually purity. One has to have some purity of heart to really have this knowledge revealed to him personally by the Supreme Lord and by the spiritual master. Otherwise, they'll never understand. If you're not a devotee, you're definitely not going to understand who Krishna is. So this is an important qualification that most of these scholars that don't have the humility and the submissiveness to surrender to Krishna, that they're missing out on. So in Kali Yuga, we need both things. We need the book Bhagavat, and we need the person Bhagavat, because we need all the help we can get. There's so many secrets and instructions in these literatures that otherwise we'd miss. We'd miss out, and we'd be lost or bewildered. So we're very thankful to Srila Prabhupada for all the work that he did. We can execute the motions of reading these books and chanting the holy names, but that purity has to be there. Not only the purity and the devotion, but we have to want to be changed. We have to read these books, not just to read them and say, "Oh, I got now I'm on the ninth canto. I just finished the eighth. Okay, let's hurry up the tenth." And try to get as many books in, read as many times as I can. But if I don't want to be changed by these books, then it's just a matter of a tally of how many times I've read it. But we want to see how deeply I can assimilate these instructions. I just received, one devotee sent something on Facebook. It was a quotation from Gopi Puranadana Das. Unfortunately, I lost it because I don't know how to find things once they go past. But anyway, I just remember it, and it was a nice little comment saying that for a devotee, the inside and the outside have to be the same. They have to match. So we have to be pure in consciousness, and we have to be pure in our activities. It really requires assimilating what we've read and acting on it. So, because we're representing Srila Prabhupada, our outside activities are a reflection of our inside activities. So we have to be that representative of the book Bhagavat and of the Bhagavat in our activities. So that means we have to realize that we have a big responsibility. We're on a showcase when we go out there, and every one of us is a preacher. If you are pure inside and outside, then you'll have great effect on people. Much more powerful. But we're all preaching. As soon as we go to the post office, we're preaching. We're showing ourselves as devotees. We're representing Krishna and Prabhupada. So we have to be a very nice devotee inside and out. And we have to be beyond doubt and questioning of our character. We shouldn't, no one should think, why is that person acting like that? They're supposed to be devotees. We have to always be on our best. It's very, very important for ourselves. So the book Bhagavat is, like I said, full of stories, but great teachings. Like for our, even for, let's say, children, if I wanted to tell stories, I would try to find the stories like Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj that have great meaning, and they will really help them. Like when I was raised with Pooh Bear and who else? The big bad wolf. You know, I still remember that. Actually, I still use those stories in my work. Just like the other day, I was discussing building, how I overbuild so the big bad wolf, you know, huff and puff and blow your house down. But if you use bricks really good, you know, then they can't do that. So I discussed it with somebody, and you have to build it really. So I still remember these little dinky little stories, you know, because they had some meaning, but they had effect. Pooh Bear too has a lot of meanings. Anyway, I won't get into that. But except for one, when he puts the hand in the hole to get the honey pot thing, and he can't get it out because he doesn't want to let go of it, you know. So the same way, you know, our materialism things, we want them, but we want Krishna consciousness, but we don't want to let go of our attachments. So many things can be taught in that nice way. And we are less intelligent. We need to hear these analogies and stories. Just like when I first heard the Mahabharata, there's so many names, you know. Oh my gosh, and so many start with S. And I was just like, who is who in this Mahabharata? You know, I just don't really get it. And so then that big series came out, you know, with all the movies, you know, and all the things. I remember when they first came out, it was in India. And everyone would get together. There was only like one boob tube in the whole town, so we'd go there. And on Sunday, they would show the things, you know, Mahabharata, you know, and we would all be couldn't wait to see him, you know. And then I realized who's who. I could see somebody. I could see a face. And Shakuni, yeah, he looked, you know. Everyone had the right person on. And then I got the names, you know. So it took a movie to get me, you know, to where I understood the Mahabharata. So you can see where we're at. But there's so many different stories, like, I mean, in Quinkunti, you know, when we're in distress and we're thinking, oh, Krishna, this test is just too much, then you think of Quinkunti. Ah, yes, just give another test, another one. Yeah, I need it. And then Draupadi, when she's getting disrobed, oh, finally she just, all right, Krishna, save me. So many times we think, yes, it's an opportunity to throw up our hands. Be totally dependent on Krishna, have no other choice. And there's no loss, there's only gain. In the Ramayana, Jatayu, you know, fight till the end. Give everything you have to please the Lord to the last dying breath. You won't be the loser, you'll be the gainer. Another one in the Ramayana is, I think her name is Sabari Muni. It's a lady whose guru told her that you just stay here and worship Lord Ram, and he's going to come to your ashram someday. And so every day she was preparing the roads and getting everything ready and getting the fruits and have everything ready, but he never came. And then finally one day he did come. So this is teaching patience and devotional service, faith in your guru. So many wonderful things we can learn and use. And like a saying here in this purport, to practically understand and use them. In Lord Chaitanya's pastor on Kulavate Sridhar, also, be humble, be simple, and just give everything you have, whatever it is, to Krishna, and you're going to have an eternal friend that you are so attached to. Srila Prabhupada, he learned all these lessons very well. He knew them all. And therefore, he practiced them, and he showed them. And he distributed them, and therefore we could give all our faith to him, because he was the living Bhagavat. He was right there. Everything in the Bhagavat was in his character. So we could surrender to him, and he, like Vyasadeva, appreciated the value of these books, and therefore sacrificed so much to translate them and give them to us, because he realized that value. He had many different comments about his books. One was, you know, don't just distribute them, read them and study them. And also that they're not, these books are, you know, this Krishna consciousness is not just sentiment, that the books are so important because they tell us this deepest philosophy. And of course, Prabhupada was expert. You see the Krishna book, he gave us the philosophy along with all the stories. I remember when the Krishna book first arrived, I remember opening it for the first page and all the pictures and then starting reading all the stories. But in them intermixed, you know, you come to a real long, a whole bunch of paragraphs of just philosophy, but it was so nicely mixed that you were just intrigued by the whole thing. At the same time, you learn really who Krishna is. So he was very expert in that regard. And here it's describing us Kali Yuga inmates as not being very glorious, I mean very passionate and ignorant, not very flattering. And so some people might be a little offended by this, that, I've got a PhD and I know so many things and I can sit down, I can figure out this philosophy. We meet many people that can say, I've read the Vedas, I understand, I know Bhagavad Gita, I have Bhagavad Gita, I understand it. But do they really understand it? So, not very flattering, but it's the truth. Look around you. Passion, ignorance. We're like in second, third gear all the time. We're just going so fast that we don't even have any time to open the books and to study them and to really imbibe them. So this is might be a little bit of pinprick on our ego, but we should see that it is actually true. But we do have kind of hinting that we have a license to point the finger at Kali Yuga. It's all because of Kali Yuga, right? That we're passion and ignorance. It's going to happen. Here we are, and it happened. That's why I'm in passion and ignorance, because it's Kali Yuga. But really, why am I still here in Kali Yuga? I should have finished up my business a long time ago and gotten out of here. So it's really our fault, and we have to do something about it. We're very cripple-minded in this. And why, lifetime after lifetime, I can't get it together and clean up my mind and do the business of Krishna and learn how to serve him properly. So we have to take this and endeavor a little bit to surrender to the spiritual master who has spent so much time and just translating these books and giving us instructions, personally giving us instructions how to practice these instructions. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna insists you've got to have a spiritual master and you've got to surrender to him. And then you'll make some advancement and become a little purified. So we have to submit to the spiritual master. It's not a maybe or if situation. The Vedanta Society has hundreds and hundreds of books that have been translated by hundreds and hundreds of gurus, but they don't even pick one and follow them. So they don't really know the essence of the Vedic literature. So it requires some lowering of our ego and crawling to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And that locks in our vow to him and locks in an agreement that he will help us to realize this Bhagavat. Many people go to these forms of what you call them, like AAA type things, but when you're overweight, you go and you get like some kind of dietary help or something like that. And the most effective ones are the ones that they make you have a partner, and if you feel like you want to eat something, you have to call that person. So it's really helpful, and they actually really overcome their diseases or whatever. So in the same way, if you have that spiritual master, you can always dial in on his instructions, or even personally, or just read Prabhupada's books and you can get the information. So it's in the same way. We're in Kali Yuga, we're handicapped. We have a hard time controlling our senses, and we do get challenged by many things. So therefore, that spiritual master is essential to help us, the book Bhagavat and the living the personal Bhagavat are so important. Our spiritual master is there, not just a guru, or Papa said, keep a pet, a guru like a pet. Yes, I have such a nice pet, my guru. But actually to realize that we have to do exactly what he says to get the most out of these wonderful teachings. But Vyasadeva, so he did a very excellent job, and we're very thankful for that. But even though we have these books, there's a lot of competition. There's so many books out there, hundreds and thousands of books you can read, or you can just to listen to them. I was out, and we have two out at the Eco Farm. We have two little volunteers that come in. They have to get a certain amount of hours in high school to get a scholarship. And they always got their phone. They can hardly do anything because they don't want to let their phone down. They have to figure out how to do it and work, and listen to their phone. I go, what do you all listen to the whole time? You know, you're always listening. What are you listening to? And he goes, I'm listening to a book. So you can just hear your books, you know, wherever you are. You don't even have to sit down and read. So there's thousands of books out there. And what less, how many movies there are, the same difference. How many different things, how many Netflix options are there? Who knows? I mean, I don't go there, but there must be millions of things that are being produced out there. And all you have to do is, I guess you have to pay money for that stuff. Yeah, okay, well, anyway, I guess it's not a sacrifice that too many people care about. And then they just dial in and they can get absorbed in all these movies, which are like books. And you can fill your mind with 10,000 million different topics. And what happens to those, what happens to your mind? It turns from friend to enemy because it stores those things. The mind stores those things. Maybe for a couple hours, you know, you might remember it, or you might watch it before you go to bed, and then you wake up, oh, there it is, yep. And then you're trying to change your job, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, and I remember when they did that and that and that. Or it could last for years. Years. It could last your whole lifetime. You'll still remember this movie or this book that I read, and it will overcome the highest knowledge. Because I think they rate these things, right? Like, you have to have a parent to watch some of these things. And you have to, or some are like family friendly, or some are like XXXXX, things like that, right? And you have your choices. So it can be very dangerous. Even if they're rated good, still, they're there. And those things can make you forget Krishna. And so it's very important not to plant these things into your consciousness. Can be very dangerous. It's something like this virus or any virus that happens, you know, if you a little teeny bit of infection, and all of a sudden it's throughout your whole consciousness and you can't get rid of it. So we have to realize that if we sit down for a moment in our spare time, that they could be very, very debilitating in the rest of our Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, if you have spare time, pick up my books and read them, or hear them. Now it's so easy. You can just push a button and you can hear them and still do your services. It's so convenient. I have this one little player and it plays all the time, so I can just, you know, put it on. Wherever you go in your house, you can hear it. And it makes a big difference in what you do. Especially like in cooking, what you hear. Now they have refrigerators with TVs on them. I went in Lowe's and they got a TV right on you. You go to open your refrigerator, you stand there cooking, you can watch whatever. You know? And be in total maya while you're making an offering for Krishna. I mean, what's the sense? You know? And I'm sure you pay big bucks for those refrigerators. But now, you know what? In our kitchen, we've got a TV. It was funny. We were doing the cut up in Krishna's kitchen the other day. We were doing the cut up on Sunday feast. And Radha Gopinath goes, we're listening, oh, nice, listen to Guru Puja and watching some bubble commercial on the TVs going on. I guess they don't have a program, right, or something. And all these commercials, all these things were going on the TV. We're trying to, you know, not chop our fingers off. You know, so it's like, you know, I don't know what the purpose of it is. If you're in the kitchen, you've got to concentrate on what you're doing. You know, you're not going to be watching the kirtan. You can hear it. But anyway, I don't know. But so be careful. Don't buy those refrigerators. They're maya, if you ask me. I guess you could program them to see the temple. I don't know. So be all precautions. Just like right now, everyone has such precautions about this virus that I heard that even the shelves are empty of hand sanitizer or something. New York is having to make their own or something. So if we were just so that fearful of Maya, it would be very healthy for our spiritual life. It would do some good if we were just that scared of Maya. Prabhupada said again and again that we're just really not scared of it. So we have to keep Maya at a distance. Don't let her touch you, because she can infect you, and that can be it. You're finished. You're doomed. Srila Prabhupada said that that actually hearing the Bhagavatam is the same as chanting. So we can fill our whole day with spiritual sound vibration. Hearing the Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, we can be totally connected to Krishna, and the infection of Maya is just going to be repelled. It's not going to be able to enter. And this is our duty as initiated disciples of spiritual master, representing Krishna. It is our duty to keep Maya away. So this is how we do it. Srila Vasudeva has helped us. Srila Prabhupada has helped us to have this knowledge available in a very tasty form. It's very relishable. And we can hear it again and again. Just hearing it once is definitely not enough. So someone might think, oh, this is the fourth, fifth time I'm going through the Bhagavatam. I wish it had been four. I wish we had time for 40 or 50 times. Maybe we'll next lifetime. It'll be in every language. And so we can keep hearing it again and again until Krishna is so kind that he will give us the highest knowledge in our heart, and we can fully surrender in this lifetime and get out of here. So anybody have some comments, questions? Or maybe some teachings that they really relish from the Bhagavatam they'd like to share. Okay? Bhakti?
You said, are you concerned that way? Okay. Thank you. That it's very difficult for people to believe or understand the Vedas. And, well, maybe it's true, but also, you said if you have to try to understand and follow them. And I heard the other time, I was not present, but they told me about Kalakanda gave a class. He was in India, and he followed some seminars. There were several seminars, and he picked up one. They were talking about the Varnashram development. And the devotees were saying that, that it was good only Vedic time. Right now, we don't have Varnashram. Who's going to follow? Forget about it. Because, I don't know, the seminar was calling falling down or something like, by following Varnashram, you're just doomed or something. Is that Srila Prabhupada's instructions days now, really? Everybody is like, how to follow properly. It was established in the Vedic time, and maybe we can try and make the society. This is on the Vedas, this is on the books. So I don't know what devotees think in that way.
Can I intervene in that? That's not exactly what you say.
Maybe
he misunderstood that. That's not what he said.
No, he said he heard devotees, but he didn't hear it properly. No,
but that's not what he said.
He didn't hear it properly.
The seminar
is it Varnashram, the devotee who presented there? He said, Varnashram, if you think of interdependent means one thing needed for other thing to be shown. Like, I cannot see you if there is no sunlight backing you. If there is no light backing you, I cannot see you. Even if I have an eye has to open. So these are called interdependent. So he gave an example of many things in Varnashram that the situation has to be, like for an example, a girl, like Prabhupada's mother or Prabhupada's wife. When Prabhupada got married? Anyway, one of the examples, Prabhupada's father or Prabhupada got married when wife was 11. Yeah. So you cannot say that we should have that Varnashram system, girl should get married 11. Well, the society accepted that, but modern society did not accept. Will not accept. The whole thing is child abuse. So it is not, it is interdependent. He gave a very scientific way.
Well, in that particular topic about women should be engaged in the early ages, Srila Prabhupada had a verse in the Bhagavatam explaining that it's very beneficial.
It's beneficial the arranged marriage because at that time the woman thinks about one man, and from age 13 starts the puberty until 18 suffers big depression until she finds he was in the purpose in the third canto. So actually we don't follow that 13 years old, but if the parents thinking how protected the daughter, they will find out, oh, this is a suitable husband, maybe inquiring, and a certain age get married to avoid all the troubles. So I believe a lot of devotees that don't really believe in the system, give me wrong, but that's the fourth leg. That's what Srila Prabhupada in this stage, it's not the deity worship, it's not the sankirtan, it's the establishment of varnashram. Because people, they have to see the society how acts. So in the dependent, yeah, okay, we cannot be 13-year-old engaged a person, but then, even the Vedic society, they were not getting married at that age. They were waiting. It's just, they were trying to follow the rules of, I don't know, certain devotees believe. I mean, it's not like you have to have a cow outside of your house necessarily or outside of the BBT, but certainly cow protection and establish of,
Maybe you can hear the whole seminar on that.
Well, I'm just saying.
It's very convincing. It's practical.
Okay, well, yes, it is actually.
But if you take out of context, just sitting here in the
He was not saying that he's believing on that, but he was picking up that.
Anyway, I suggest you try to listen to his presentation, because I think it's just you didn't get the whole view of it.
Maybe I didn't.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to thank you for the comparison of how the guru can be like the person that is in those like Overeaters Anonymous, is like that guy that you can call to help with, and it made me think about how sometimes when don't have guru available, some of the next best people that I call are like my fellow god sisters or god brothers or like devotees, because I've found that they are usually more accessible than the guru a lot of times, and they can give me like that lifeline to, you know, when I'm feeling like demoralized or something happens that I don't feel like it's like I'm doing it right, like they can kind of bring me up again. So I just wanted to thank you for that comparison, because I feel that every time that I come and have association of certain devotees, like they kind of, you could tell, at least for me, I feel like I can tell how much their sadhana is strong and how much their love of Krishna, because every time that I'm around them, I feel kind of buoyed up as opposed to being pushed down. So
yeah, they're like your shiksha guru.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Thank you.
We need lots of those.
Hare Krishna. The point that you were making about listening always and trying to change, I appreciate so much. At the same time, I'm a reader. I read so many things. But I wanted to ask about the verse in Sriya Upanishad, which I unfortunately don't know perfectly, but where he says we should study knowledge and nescience side by side. Like the way in your class you said, oh, and I still remember Pooh Bear, but then you drew a good lesson from it. There, you know, so if we have had association with some other books, if we can put them in context of Krishna conscious philosophy, it may be a way that we can give Krishna to others, like in like a needle, and then bring. That's a question or comment?
No. Everyone's individual. If you can read books and read Prabhupada's book and become Krishna conscious, then that's good. I mean, I get some magazines my sister gives me, but I'm always looking in them to try to find something I can use in class, some facts or figures, so that's there too. Anybody else? Jaya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya.